Okay, Roisai, especially right. Vomis is always Daf Yud Gimel. Today's Daf is Daf Yud Gimel. We're holding five lines on the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins by quoting part of our Mishnah, Ketzad Poitrois Tzoroisehen. And V'chuli tells us that the Mishnah continues on. It's not only a case of Tzoroisehen, but also the Tzorois, the Tzora of a Tzora. How do we know that the din of Tzorois applies not only to the immediate Tzora of the Erva, but to the Tzora of the Tzora? To remind us once again, how do you even have the case of a Tzora of a Tzora? So let's take the example that we had in our Mishnah. We had Reuven and Shimon, where Reuven had a daughter. The daughter married his brother Shimon. Anything wrong with that? No. An uncle marries a niece, so it's fine, it's perfect. Good. And then what happened? Shimon happened to have had some other wives as well, besides Reuven's daughter. Anyway, Vehi Hayoyim, then unfortunately Shimon passed away. Since he passed away, now all of these young ladies, number one being the daughter of Reuven, and number two, the other women, they all fall liyimim to Reuven. Does Reuven have a mitzvah to go and be miyabin, or to give a chalitza to his own daughter? And the answer is, no. Does he have a mitzvah to go and be miyabim, or give chalitza to the other women? No. Why? Because they all have the din of a tzoras hu erva. The first one is an erva, the other one, that's the daughter.
That we learned that from?
That's a very good question. So the Gemara initially thought that we learn it out from Oleh HaOleh. Here it says, by Chois Isha, Yivam Yavi, it says, and then we have the other pasuk, Yivam Yavi Oleh. So I learned one from the other, the two Olehs, to tell you, that's how the Gemara learned initially. Now you're getting into another Indian.
Okay.
Let's start off. So the Gemara initially thought that the reason why a person is not allowed to be miyabim his own erva is because of this oleha oleha. But after that, the Gemara said, no, I don't need that. The reason is because ein esa doicha loisa sheish by karis. And the Gemara gave three answers. But the final answer of Rava was, not the oleha oleha comes to go and tell you an isur, then I know from what the Oleh Oleh comes to tell you is a heter. The heter is to go and marry any one of the tzorois, the mokrim she'ein by mitzvah, if it's not in the yibum situation.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that more on the bottom when we get to the next Mishnah. Anyway, but that's the din of the erva. So let's go back to our case. Reuven is not allowed to go and be miyabim his own daughter because she's an erva. Can he be miyabim any of the other women? And the answer is no, because they happen to be tzaris. Okay, what happens if there's a third brother on the scene? Not only Reuven and Shimon, there's Levi. And Levi decides, well, since Reuven, my brother, cannot be miyabim, since my brother Shimon is on the Olam Emes, I'm the only guy in town, so he's now going to go and marry or be miyabim either the daughter, he could. No. He's going to be miyabim instead of the daughter. He's going to be miyabim, which would have been his niece. And that would be no problem. But he decides to go miyabim instead, one of the other tzorois. In other words, one of the other women that was married to his late brother, Shimon. Is he allowed to? Sure, that's a mitzvah yibim. Go. Now, Levi has this new wife, the former wife of Shimon. He also happens to have his own wife, because Baruch Hashem, he was married from before. Maybe even had multiple women. So now, the wife that he married, that it was miyabim, that was the tzora of Reuven's daughter. The second wife that he has, either previously or now, is now the tzora of that tzora. So were Levi to pass away, and now these two women fall back again to Reuven, not only can Reuven not marry the wife that was previously Shimon's wife, because that was the tzora of his bitoy of the erva, but he cannot go marry Levi's wife, who's the tzora of the tzora. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, and the Gemara brought it based on the word litzra. And the Gemara is now explaining this again. We know, and Emilia, how do I know that not only tzoris apata, but even tzoris tzorais? In the pasuk litzrar, that's in the pasuk of the isha lechoyso lisikach litzrar legalis of vasaleh bechaya. What litzrar? Hatoy ribsa tzoris harve. And you remember the Gemara said maybe it only tells us one tzara and not the tzara of a tzara. Then it could have said lotzur, and it says litzrar. So the Torah is Marva, the Tzora of the Tzar. Okay, this is really a repeat of what we've had previously, back on Daf Gimel. Ravashi Omar Svorihi, I'll tell you how I know the Tzora's Tzora. Tzora, my time Masir, why did the Torah answer the initial Tzora? Timon Mokim, Erva Kaima. After all, the Tzora of the original Erva. In other words, in our case, we had Reuven and Shimon. Where Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter and to other women as well. As far as Reuven's daughter, I can understand when Shimon dies, Reuven cannot go and marry his own daughter. That's logical. But what does it have to do with the other women? The other women are totally unrelated. One woman comes from China and one from Japan. All Jewish women, of course, but they're lovely women. None of them related to anybody. What's the problem? Why can't Reuven go miyavim? Because the Torah says that Etzora, the Mokim Erva, becomes like the Erva herself. Meaning, since she is part of the... It's all based, again, initially at least on the Pasuk. Where the Pasuk says, Isha l'chois l'sikach l'tzrar. What the Torah is telling us is that when you have an achois ishtoi problem, an erva problem, so that problem is not just that isolated one lady, but it's a package deal. All the other women in the harem, all of the other women that were married to Shimon, they now adopt, if you will, a din of ashtikal erva. Because they're part of that set, part of that unit. And so therefore, Svaru, Tzora, my time asir, why is the initial Tzora asir to Mokim Erva Kaimah? Because she's standing together with the Erva at the time of Yibam, and therefore she gets to be part of that set of those that are asir to be Miyab. So now Tzora is Tzora, now we Mokim Erva Kaimah. Now that the initial Tzora has the shame of a shtikel erva, the Gabi Hilchos Yibam. Now when she is nisiyabim through Levi, she still retains that status of being a shtikel erva. And now when Levi passes away, the tzora's tzora is now a tzora of that shtikel erva. So she also now gets into the set. She's not in the original set of the bitoy and the erva, and the bitoy and the tzara. She's now, I'm sorry?
Lumped in.
She's lumped in, right. And this lumping in can go up to even 100 times, said our Mishnah. Theoretically 1,000 times. Of course, it depends on how many brothers there are. So if Levi passes away and these women fall now to Yibam, and then Yehuda goes and is Miyabim one of them, which one? The tzara's tzara, and then Yehuda passes away, then it's vis-a-vis Reuven, he cannot go and take not only the tzara's tzara, but also the tzara's tzara's tzara. Keeps on adding up as you keep on going further and further, brothers that pass away.
I couldn't argue with a pasuk.
I wouldn't expect you to.
No, I'm saying, but Rashi says it's a svara. But the opposite svara is also true. We have the Zika.
Mm-hmm.
Once there's Yibam, there's no longer a Zika. There's no longer. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't the Yibam end? Because there's no Chalitza here. Why doesn't the Yibam terminate the Zika, and therefore the Tzara is, as you said, a new deal? We had, like I said, I keep going back to the case of the two brothers who weren't contemporaneous.
Right.
You know, once the Zika is over, there's Yibam, okay, in the case of Reb Shimon versus the Chachamim, this woman became the wife of the second brother. His third brother is born, he never knew the first brother.
Mm-hmm.
So too here, this Tzara was never part of that package. She had no relationship whatsoever with Shimon, and she was only married to Levi, you know, many years later. She didn't know the family. The Zika is over. Why is the Mishnah, and there's no argument in the Mishnah, why does it persist? It's Mishnah Svara.
The Zika of the fact that these two women fell the Yibam from Shimon to Reuven and Levi respectively, that Reuven was not able to Miyabim because it was Bitoy and the Tzara's Bitoy. So then Levi took over, and he was Miyabim. Vis-a-vis the Zika towards Levi, he resolved it perfectly. Givaldi.
Evaporated, it's gone.
It's gone.
It blew away.
That's correct. But vis-a-vis Reuven, who was not able to Miyabim, the Issa Erva still attaches to his own daughter. And vis-a-vis Hilchas Yibam, the Issa Eishes Ach still attaches to the Tzora of the daughter. That Tzora was never resolved. In fact, it doesn't only have to be a Tzora of an Erva. In a regular, normal situation, where you have multiple brothers, and you have one of the brothers passed away and left over a couple of women, so the one that's Miyabim, he took away the Zika vis-a-vis him, because now it's Ishtar L'chol Davar. But vis-a-vis the, all the other brothers, she still remains the old Eishes Ach from the first brother, so that if any of them were to go and live with her, to be over in the Eishes Ach, regardless of the, let's say, one of the brothers, instead of being the Yabim, would be Choletz to one of the Yavamais, one of these Almanis. The, all the others would still remain, in fact, even that first one, all still remain Usher to all the other brothers. And that we had before in the Gemara, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether it's a din of an Issalav, whether it's a din of Issacharis, but it still remains. So the Zika doesn't just evaporate and go away. The Zika vis-a-vis the one that was Miyabim or Choletz goes away. But vis-a-vis all the other brothers, the Zika remains. In our case of Reuven, the taint on the Tzara as being a Tzara's Erva, that remains with her forever.
I understand that. Then I understand. But to carry it into a new relationship is what's... Because it's because of Svara.
Mm-hmm.
This opposite Svara is true. Three brothers. Mm-hmm. One dies before the third brother is born. Again, that case is a perfect counterexample.
So maybe that's the reason why Rav Yehuda doesn't like to go into Svaras. He likes the Pasuk better. Maybe because he feels that there are other Svaras in reverse that would militate otherwise. Right? We have Machloik.
Yeah.
Avashi says that's fine.
Wasn't that Rabbi Akiva's famous question? You know, like, why do you need, when you originally asked a pasuk on the Tzara, on the second consumption, she was already prohibited. When we asked Allah initially, why do you need that? Because she already fell once to her, she was already fell once to Reuven, let's say.
Right.
And now, and she was disqualified. And then when she falls in the second time, so she's the Isser of Eishes Ach as on her, which automatically would then disqualify her Tzara.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically what the Gemara is saying.
Right. So
she's become an Eishes Ach as a result of the fact that she's a Tzara's heir for the first time. That Shem never goes away. So now when she falls the Yim a second time, it's not only that she's falling the Yim, now there's a Tzara, since she is a Tzara from the first time, Tzara's Erva to Reuven, she remains a Tzara's Erva forever, and now the new Tzara comes on the scene, she's a Tzara of the Tzara's Tzara, of the Tzara's Erva. And then the next wife, and then if it's Yehuda and Yisachar, keep on adding more and more Tzara's, lots of Tzara's Nebuch, and each time it's a Tzara of a Tzara of the original Erva, and that shame Tzara's Erva never goes away.
Now, to answer Barry's question,
yes, please.
The first Tzara acquires every entity of the actual Erva.
Mm-hmm.
The first Tzara comes now, Bitai.
Mm-hmm.
So next Tzara now is Tzara to the Bitai.
She's become so
a virtual Bitai.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, continue on. Zuki Mori Yitzvayt. Ketzad im Meso. Okay, now to understand this properly, it's an easy understanding, but nevertheless, it would be kedai to look back at the Mishnah just for a moment so we get our bearings. Ketzad im Meso. Where is this? This is towards the end of the Mishnah. This is back on Beis Amid Beis, page 4. It's roughly 6 lines before the end of the Mishnah. So it says in the Mishnah, Ketzad im Meso Tzoreseyen Mutarois. How can you have a case where Imesu, meaning that one of the original Ervis passed away, the Tzora is Mutar? Why is the Mishnah talking about that? Because back on the third line it says Vekulam Imesu Amianu Nesgarshu, etc. Tzorisei Mutaris. So one wants to know, what is this Imesu Tzorisei Mutaris? Hoi Zebitoi Hoi Achas Mikol Aroyis HaElu Nesuis Liachiv. One of these cases where Bitoy LaMoshe was married to Shimon, and he had another wife. And what happened? Mesa Bitoy, initially, the daughter of Reuven passed away. She got a kid. And now the brother passed away. The only one that's left now is the Tzara. The daughter had predeceased Shimon. She might even predeceased him by 20 years. And now Shimon passes away, leaving over that Tzara. What's the din? The Tzarasa Muteres. Why is it Tzarasa Muteres? Because we look at the time of the Misa, the Nefila of Shimon. At that time, when Shimon died, was there an Erva on the scene? No, because that Erva already passed away years before, days before, months before. At the time that Shimon passed away, the only one that was left was the Tzara. Therefore, the Tzara is Muteris, and Reuven is allowed to go and marry. And therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is the definition of a co-wife means literally that at the time of Shimon passing away, they have to be co-wives. The fact that they were co-wives 2 years ago, 10 months ago, 5 minutes ago, is irrelevant. We look we take a snapshot at the time when Shimon passed away, there's no bitay on the scene, then there's no din of a tzorasa erva. That's the case of our Mishnah. Even a situation where initially they were both together, both the bitoy together with the tzara, v'psoif girish, instead of somebody passing away, he gave a get to his wife, to the bitoy, which is his niece. So now at the time when Shimon passes away, which is subsequent to that get, at that time she was no longer on the scene because she was already giget. So the only one that's left is the tzara. That tzara is muteres to be nesiabim by Reuven. However, for Gemara Minu, I'm going to ask you a kasha, because later on Daf Lamed we're going to have another Mishnah. And the Mishnah over there suggests that the only time that there is no tzara is if they were never contemporaneous co-wives. What is that situation? Or a minute. Gimel Achim, three brothers. Shnayim hen nesuim beizachayis. Two of them were married to two sisters, two brothers, two sisters. V'yechem nosi nochris, and the third one was married to a regular lady. Nochris doesn't mean a goita; it means a non-sister. Girish echem mibali achayis. So now we have, let's call them A, B, and C. A was married to one of the two achayis, and he went and divorced her, unfortunately. Now what happens? Now it says here, Girish Echen Balachoyis Es Ishtai. You see on the side they add the word S. Girish Echen Balachoyis Es Ishtai. A went and gave a divorce to his wife, who was one of the two sisters. Umeis Hanosi Nochris. Now C, who was married to the Goita, not the Goita, not the Shola, the non sister, thank you, the non sister. Now he passed away. The Konsa Hamigarish. Now A, who was previously married to one of the two sisters, went and he was miyabim, and he married that nochris, that non-sister.
Perfect.
No Umes. Problem. And now Reuven died. So now Reuven, in other words, A. What is the situation over here? A, at one time, had been married to one of the sisters. Before he married the nochris, he had already divorced that sister, or she had passed away. Since she's no longer on the horizon. In fact, she was never a co-wife together with the Nochris, because at the time that A went and was miyabim the Nochris, the former Achois, his former wife, A's former wife, had already left the scene. He had already given her a get. So therefore, there was no time that A was married to both the Nochris and to one of the two Achois. That being the case, when now A passes away, the only one that's left on the scene was that Nochris. So now, what's the story? B, who his wife is a sister of the
former Mrs. A.
Former Mrs. A. Unfortunately, that the marriage of A with Mrs. A terminated a long time ago. Would we now deem the former Mrs. C, who's now married to A, and A never passed away, would we deem her to be a tzara of an erva? And says the Mishnah, no. And therefore, B could go and now be miyabim, that former Mrs. C that became Mrs. A. Mr. A was at one time married to Mr. B's wife. I'm sorry, he was married to the sister of Mr. B's wife. No, that's not a concern, because that marriage terminated a long time ago, even before A married the Nochris. Says the Mishnah, Zui Shamru, Shemeso Neskar, Shetzurisei Mutars. Smash Bataima de Girish Viachach Konas. The reason is because A had already divorced his wife, one of the two sisters, before he was kindness, before he married C's wife, before he married the Nochris. What happens if they were contemporaneous wives? That first he went and he was koines the C's widow, that's the Nochris. V'achakirish, and only after that did he give a get to one of the two sisters. And only after that he died. Loi, even though at the time of Misa they were no longer tzaris, but they were contemporaneous at least for 5 minutes. That gives her the stamp of being a tzara, and therefore she would be also to go and be miyam. That's the mashmoy. Since it says zui she'amru, it sounds like this is the case and not the other type of case. So ibazoi, we have now a steer between what it says the fedush in our mishnah and the mashmois of that mishnah. That our mishnah sounds like even konas will b'seif girish, and that mishnah sounds like only girish will b'seif konas. And again, the ikar is, were they ever contemporaneous at any time at all? Our mishnah says they could have been contemporaneous wives for 50 years. Just as long as before Shimon passed away, he gave a get to his wife, which was the erva, or he went and divorced her, or she passed away. And then at the time that Shimon passed away, there was only the tzara left. No problem, Reuven could go and be miyamer. But that mishnah is mashma, only in the case where they were never contemporaneous wives. That the first wife, the betrayed, had already passed away, and only subsequent to that did Shimon marry the second wife. Oh, in such a case, then Reuven could go and be miyamer, but not if they were contemporaneous. So, Tamora, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, you're absolutely right. Tavra. It's impossible that the same Tana learn both Mishnayos, because the two Mishnayos are inconsistent. Hi, so what's Taka Nisvara? Hi, Tana Sava, Misa Mapalas. Hi, Tana Sava, Nisu, and Rishon Mapil. When do you call, how does a lady get the name of the Tzorasa Erva? One Tana, meaning our Mishnah, says, you take a snapshot at the time that Shimon passed away, at the time that B passed away. Go and take a look now. What is this story? Or A, B, I'm already lost with my A, B, and C. So when he passed away, were there two wives there together at the same time, the original Bitoy together with the Tzara? That's the case. That's Koveh, that's Avada Tzara. Yeah. As if the Bitoy died a minute before Shimon died. So at the time of the Misa, the time of the Nefila, there was no longer a Bitoy on the scene. She's no longer Tzara. That's what our Mishnah holds. They could have been Tzara for 25 years. Makes no difference. As long as she's no longer in the picture anymore, because she died or she got a get, the tzara is muteres to Reuven. Vaitana Sovar, the other Tan and Daf Lamed in the next Mishnah, there it says Visuna Rishoinim Apilim. You look to determine whether she's a tzara, you don't look at the time of the Misa of Shimon, you look at the time of the original marriage, the Bitoy together with the tzara. If at the time, any time during that marriage period, over 10-year period, 20-year period, whatever it is, they were contemporaneous, she's a tzara and she remains a tzara forever, even though subsequently Shimon gave a get to the bitoy, or she died, makes a difference, she remains a tzara forever, then when Shimon dies, she would be usher to Reuven. Rav Amar, Rav said, no, loyim chatano, you could say it's one tana to learn both Mishnahis. V'zu v'ein tzarech loyim mezu ketani. The Gemara uses this type of teretz fairly often. You see on the side, we have this in Erevin and Rosh Hashanah and Ksubis and Hoidius, etc., etc. This is the Zuva in Tzarech Loi Mezu Ketani. The case of our Mishnah is the Mechudish Diki case, that even though they were tzaris together, co-wives for many years, as long as the moment of Ptira of Shimon, the Bita is no longer on the scene because she predeceased him or she already got a get, that's already enough. That's, of course, Mechudish. Now, the next Mishnah, which says that there was never any time that they were contemporaneous, that's Chadova Parshit. Sezu, Vein Tzarech Loi Mezu. Our case of the Mishnah is the greater Chidush. And the next Mishnah, that's that simple, that anybody can figure out. If they were never contemporaneous, then they were never Tzars. Yes, but
the
Loizu
Afsu, same thing?
And the Loizu Afsu is usually the other way around. That we would start off the Mishnah and Daf Lamed as being the first
weaker
case. The weaker case would say, not only in the case where they were never contemporaneous, but even in the case of our Mishnah where they were contemporaneous for 5 minutes or for 5 years or for 50 years, that even in that case they're not a tzara because at the time of the Petira of Shimon, the Bito was no longer on the scene.
Zu ain't Tzarech Loi Mezu is more like a Kal v'Chomer type reasoning, would you say?
The Zu Afzu is an easier way to understand because Rebbe's kind of breaking it to us slowly. Right. First, I'll tell you the easy case. And not only that, I'll tell you even the Mechudish Diki case. To go and say the Utsu Ein Tzarech Loi Mezu, that in itself is a little bit, I wouldn't say it's a doichak, but it's not as easy as Zu the Afsu, because once we told you the big Chiddush that this is the case, so what do I need to go and tell you the other case? I can figure it out on my own.
Because by 4 weeks later, your mind is so crowded.
Excellent.
You need
a break. You need a break.
Refresher, right.
It says at the very end of the Mishnah, the last two lines, back in days of the miana, you have a bitoy and you have another tzara, and the bitoy was a bitoy who was still a yesoima aktana, and she's now going to fall for her father. And we always ask that question, how could you have yesoima aktana, who has the right of mian, falling for her father? After all, if it's a father, then it was a kedushin diaraisa. So talking about yesoima b'chaya av, that the father had already married her off once, and that marriage didn't work out, and there was already a get. Now the father loses all rights, and now the mother married her off. Anyway, so what does it say in the Mishnah? Whoever has the right to be ma'anis. And she was not ma'anis. In other words, she could have been ma'anis against her husband, and she failed to do so. So when the husband passed away, she was still Mrs. X, Mrs. Ruve, Mrs. Shimon, whoever it was, she was not menis. The tzaras is chiletzes v'loy misya bemis. Why is tzaras chiletzes v'loy misya bemis? The answer is because this kedushin of the erva was only a kedushin midrabanan. Why was it midrabanan? Because we're talking about that the mother or an older brother married her away, and therefore that's the reason why she's allowed to be menis, to dissolve and to annul that marriage. Since it's drabanon, minatoyer, she's not even married. So if she's not even married, then the tzora is not a tzora of an erva midyaraisa. It's only a tzora of an erva midrabanon. Okay, drabanon. So therefore, she can't go and be misyabing because she's a tzora. On the other hand, she can't just go free and say, "Oh, I'm a tzora of an erva," because the erva is a drabanon diker. So therefore, she gets chalitza for loy misyabes. That's what you state in the Mishnah. Right, Tigmar. It's true that she was not Mima Enes whilst her husband was alive. She intended to because things were at loggerheads and she intended going and making a mian, but she dilly-dallied. She's still only 10 or 11 years old. Maybe she was hoping things would get better. And unfortunately, the husband passed away. So now we are stuck with the father having his daughter here together with the tsar. And this daughter, Nebuch, is all of 10 years old. So tomorrow, v'tamoyin hashta, let her go and do a miyun right now, v'tisyavim. And now...
it was yesterday's gemara.
Exactly. So give us an opportunity once again to do chazar. So tomorrow, hashta, let her go and be me'enis now, not against her original husband, but against the yavam. Yeah. And remember, we spoke about yesterday that, in fact, if she's me'mine against her the erva, it's effective against him, but not against the others.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had this... yesterday. So let's go back.
Rabbi Yochanan said
he could do it. Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, a whole bunch of money. Anyway, we try to let her go make a meal now. And what will be the benefit of that meal? She'll be out of here because it's as if she's oiker the kedushin harishainim. But this yabim, and now let her father go and be meyabim the tzara, because the tzara won't be a tzara of an erva. We're going to annul the thing ab initio as if they were never married. It's oiket kedushin rishonim, and so therefore he'll be able to go and be miyavim the tzora so erva, because she won't be a tzora so erva anymore. So tomorrow they masai the Rabbi Yoshia, the Yom Rabbi Yoshia, mema enes lemamori, vein mema enes lizikosoi. Rabbi Yoshia holds that you can only make miyun vis-a-vis mamar, but not vis-a-vis a zika, meaning... we'll talk about the mamar in a moment, but what Rabbi Yoshia is saying is that once she falls liyibam, it's already too late to be mema'enes. You can only be mema'enes to the original husband, but now that she has, she was not mema'enes, and her husband passed away, were she now to go and receive maimar from another brother, and we spoke about maimar yesterday as well. What's maimar? Maimar means that min hatoyra, the only way that a yavam is koina his yavama is through bia. Yavama yavoy oleha lekocha loy leisha v'yibma, it's through bia. What happens if he didn't want to go and all of a sudden bia, let's do this as a transitional period. So initially he gives her maimar. Maimar is like kesef kiddushin, but it's not kesef kiddushin like you have by a regular husband and wife, which is min hatorah. This is midrabanan. Okay, so now you have a yavam that goes and takes, that it gives this young lady, this Yevama, who is all of 10 years old, and he gives her Mayim HaKesef Kedushin, worth at least a Sheva Pruta, and she receives it. And then after that, she says, I'm not interested in this new husband. I wasn't happy with my first husband. I'm not happy with this husband. And she decides to go and be Mamanis. Miyun means that she makes a statement either in front of two Edim or in front of a Bezin and says, I don't want to be married to this individual, and that annuls the whole marriage. It's called only by Iktana. Can't do that by Iktana. Yes, sir?
If one of the brothers undertakes Mimer, but then has, let's say, second thoughts and wants to, how does that work? Can he retract the Mimer?
There's going
to
be lots and lots about this later on.
Okay.
So, in the meantime, all we're focusing on for a moment, David, if you'd be so kind, please put yourself on mute. So, but thank you for joining us. So Rabbi Yishia says that the mion of this young lady will help to end the mimer, so it's as if there was no mimer that was given, bearing in mind that the whole kesef kedushin of mimer is the Rabbanan, the koyach of her mion is the Rabbanan, so one the Rabbanan removes the other Rabbanan. But she cannot go menes lezikosim, meaning that this same young girl of 10 years old, if she wants to sever the relationship with the Yavam, in addition to the miyun, to remove the maimer, she's also going to have a chalitza from the yavam to be finished with the zika, to end it altogether. Exactly. So we see, according to that, that in fact, you cannot make a miyun after your husband passes away. And if that's the case, says Yimor, oh, that's why it says in the Mishnah, then the tzara is chaletzim zibaris. Thank Yimor, but tomorrow has to let her go and do miyun now. Says Yimor, it sounds like that Raboshi is right, that you cannot be ma'enes lizikos. You can only be ma'ayin against your original husband, not against the yavam, not against the zika. Is a haraya. Says Yimor, no, like, you don't have a right. Tzara is erev shani. In a regular, normal situation where you have a Yisrael Mektana who falls the Yibum, yes, she can be Ma'enes to the Yavam. She doesn't have to have Chalitza. She doesn't have to have Yibum. She just says, I'm out of here. Make a declaration in front of two Edom, in front of a Bezdin, and we're done. Here with the Tzoros Erva, what difference does that make? The Tzoni Rav Bar Yecheskel, and we had this yesterday as well. What does Rav Bar Yecheskel say? Mi'ana b'baal muteres l'oviv. Mi'ana b'yavam asura li'oviv. What is this all about? So we have a case over here where we have a kalosi situation. What's the kalosi situation? You have Yitzchak and you have Yaakov. Yaakov, Yitzchak was the father of Yaakov, as we know from the Chumash. Yaakov was married to a young girl who was only 10 years old. And that 10-year-old girl didn't, maybe her name was Leah, not like the biblical Leah, who was, of course, a Gedoyla. Here we're talking about that she was a Ktana. So Yaakov married Leah. Leah was not happy with her marriage. Before we get to that point, what is the Yitzchak's relationship with Yaakov's wife? That's his daughter-in-law, right? Yitzchak had a son called Yaakov. Yaakov married this young lady, 10 years old. It happens to be Yitzchak's daughter-in-law. Were Yaakov to pass away, would Yitzchak be able to live with his own daughter-in-law? Kalosei, chas v'shalom. You can't. The Torah says you can't marry a daughter-in-law. However, what happens if she's mi'ana b'bal? Before Yaakov passed away, she was mima enes against her husband. That caused the marriage to dissolve. The muteres l'aviv, and then she would be able to go and marry her former father-in-law, even though there's an iser of kalosai. Why?
She was never married.
She was never married. As a result of the miyun, that it's as if nothing happened. Kedushin rishonim nifko, we're done. So therefore, she was never the daughter-in-law in the first place. Okay, muteres l'aviv. What happens if, however, her husband... she didn't have a chance to be mine against her husband, against Yaakov, but rather Yaakov passed away and she was still 10 or 11 years old. And now she says, but I'm not interested in my Yavam, in either the Shver or somebody else. She wants to be mine of the Yavam. Then she's Asurah over. Then she cannot go and marry that same father-in-law. Why not? After all, the two cases would seem to be identical cases. As a result of the miyun, it's okay, the kedusha l'mafreya. It's as if they were never married. So she was only memenis after the son passed away. No, mazal tov. Let her make a miyun now and let her go and marry the aviv. Says Yimor, no, it's a surah the aviv. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, it's not because of the ikradin, it's because of the appearances. The optics, right. Mishas nefilin niris kekalosai. Since at the time that Shimon passed away, or not Shimon, we're talking about Yitzchak and Yaakov. When Yaakov passed away, niris kekalosai, the whole world says, oh, Yitzchak's son passed away, leaving over the daughter-in-law. Everybody assumes, daughter-in-law. Had she been Mema'enes against Yaakov before Yaakov passed away, and then Yaakov passes away, no one would say that Yitzchak is the father-in-law of the Kolos. Everybody knows she already dissolved that marriage already a day ago, a month ago, a year ago. That marriage didn't last, and that's...
Never existed, she's in mind. And there was never any marriage. She doesn't leave a surviving wife.
Exactly. However, because of, as you say, the optics, because over here, unfortunately, when Shimon passed away, they were still married. So in the eyes of the world, it's a kalosai. So we don't want people to go and say, look, at Yitzchak Avinu is going and marrying his daughter-in-law. Torah says you're not allowed to. So therefore they said, prohibited. So therefore, back in our Mishnah, that case we were talking about is a case of kalosai. In our case of our Mishnah, we're talking about bitoi. But it's again the same principle, and that is, had there not been an erv involved, one could disagree with Rabbi Yishai. At least you wouldn't have a rai from a Mishnah. You could hold up when a person, a young girl, could be Mema'enes against her own Yavam, because it doesn't have any further application, just vis-a-vis the Yavam. There's no Kalosi situation, there's no
Erva situation.
Any Erva situation. See, here too, we have the case of our Mishnah. If she went and terminated the marriage by doing Mion previously, before Shimon passed away, then fine. Then the other women are not Tzaras Erva. However, if by the time Shimon passed away, they were still married, she only wanted to be Mema'enes post Shimon's passing, even though when she would be Mema'enes, it takes away the Kedusha L'mafreya. However, because of the fact that it's nearest Kitzaras Bitoy, meaning that all the other wives, everybody's saying, oh, did you hear? Shimon passed away, he left over Reuven's daughter together with the other wives, even though subsequently she was Mema'enes against Reuven, and therefore that removed the Zika, but since in the eyes of the world, she was a Bitoy, a fell the Yibum at the time that Shimon passed away, therefore it remains that Erva, and therefore the others are Tzoras Bitoy, and that's why the Mishnah says, Chaylet says, Foloi Misyabes.
When Rabbi Yochanan gave up, would you pop markers?
Yeah, what's up there?
If she's Chaylet, how can a Tano, the Chalitza requires proactivity of a Tano, it's more than meal, she's not passive in a Chalitza, she has to act.
One second. Rabbi, before you continue, and thank you very much for joining us. I know there's a time differential, it's a big cover that you're joining us. And once again, a mazel tov on your fourth einikel. Me'at Hashem, you should have many, many more. Me'at Hashem, tzi gezun, together with your wife and the ganze mishpacha.
Kiddush.
No, simchas and achas. But getting back to our Gemara, the halach on Dav Beis Amud Beis is not that you give chalitza to the girl that's mima'enes. You're giving chalitza to the tzara. In other words, you have, again, Reuven's daughter was married to Shimon. Shimon had other wives as well. Reuven's daughter was only 10 years old. Now, Shimon never passed away, leaving over the daughter, meaning Reuven's daughter, together with the other women, they all fall yibim to Reuven. So the Gemara said, or the Mishnah said, that what do you do in this situation? Since they're all married to Shimon, and Shimon passed away, then the firstly, Bitoy is an Erva, and all the other ladies are Tzoris Erva. So what do we do? For one of those Tzoris, we go and say, get Chalitza, and don't take Yibum. That's what the Mishnah said. Great, you want to have a better idea. Go and have the Bitoy go and be Mema'enis now against her former husband. After all, she could have been Mema'enis whilst her husband was alive. Let her be Mema'enis now. By being Mema'enis now, let her go and take away the whole condition. So now Reuven should be able to go and be miyabim one of the other women. So it's not a question of chalitza to the mema'enes. Talking about chalitza to the other ladies.
So this argues on Rabbi Yochanan then.
Argues on Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say?
He said, Achasaras mema'enes, Achasaras mema'enes, Achasaras mema'enes, Achasaras mema'enes, Achasaras mema'enes,
right. Now that's the case of a regular tzoris from the Enes. You'll recall that Shmuel back in the Omer Aleph says that the tzoris from the Enes Asura. You know why? Mishum, the case of Bitum Menes. However, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't subscribe to that. The Bitum Menes is taka, the case of our Mishnah. However, a regular tzoris from the Enes says, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not goyzer Otu, the case of Bitum Menes. But the Bitum Menes he doesn't disagree with. It's our Mishnah. So, Avada, Rabbi Yochanan agrees with the Mishnah, it's a din of Tzoris Menes, Tzoris Bitum Menes. All he disagrees is in the case of a Tzoris Menes, where there is no Bitay. Since there's no Bitay situation, there's no optics that people say, it looks like Tzoris Bitay. It's just a Tzora, meaning there are multiple wives, and one of them is Menes. Fine, it's one of them, even post the passing of her husband, she commands against her own Yavam, that's fine. And then the Tzora is Mutter, says Rabbi Yochanan. Why wouldn't it be Mutter? After all, if you oik the Kedushan of Freya, she's not a Tzora, she's a Tzora of nobody. Why can't you go and marry? It was all Gzeir Mishum Tzora's Bita Menes. That Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold out, but a Bita Menes about it, that's the din of the Mishnah.
Okay.
On to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is a very, very simple Mishnah in concept and in practice. Sheish arayos chamuros me'elu. There are 6 arayos which are more chomer than the 15 of our Mishnah. Nation is sois la'achirim, and because of that, tzereseyin mutarais. So it seems to be ironic. We're saying that it's chomer, there's a chumra here, but because of that, there's a kula, that the tzore is mutter. But it's not ironic, it's very simple. You have the Imoy, the Eishes Ovel, we're going to list the 6, and then we're going to explain what this means. Imoy is 1, Eishes Ovel is 2, Achis Ovel is 3, Achis Me Ovel is 4, Eishes Achi Ovel is 5, the Eishes Achi Ochiv Me Ovel is 6. Notice that all of them have the word of attached to them, except for Imoy, but of course, if it's his mother, then obviously there was a father. So there's always an Ovel in all of these 6 cases. So let's give a very, very simple example. And we've given this example already a number of times since the beginning of the Masechta. If you have 2 brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was born, let's talk about biblical. You have Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov had 2 wives, Leah and Rachel. We won't talk about Bilhah and Zilpah today, maybe in the future. So we have Leah and Rachel. Reuven is married to Leah, and she has a son by the name of, not Reuven, Yaakov is married to Leah and has a son by the name of Reuven. Leah is also married to Rachel, and Rachel has a son by the name of Binyamin. Now, what's the status of Reuven and Binyamin? They're brothers. They're only half-brothers. They're only brothers mina'av, they're not brothers mina'ein. Because Reuven's mother was Leah, and Shimon's mother was Rachel. Fine. So, what happens in a situation where Yaakov Avinu passed away, Leah is now an almana, ready to be married. Binyamin decides to go and marry Leah. And Binyamin marries Leah. And what happens after that? Binyamin passes away, and Leah now falls liyibim to her son, to Reuven. So why isn't that mentioned in our Mishnah? Instead of 15, we should have case number 16. That Reuven cannot go and be miyabim his own mother, who fell to him because his brother Binyamin had married Reuven's mother, and therefore it's an erva. And if Binyamin had other wives, so not only would he not be able to go marry his mother, he wouldn't be able to marry the tzara of his mother. Why isn't that mentioned in the first Mishnah? Says our Mishnah, because this case is impossible. Why is it impossible? Is Binyamin allowed to go and marry Leah? And the answer is no. Why can't he go and marry Leah? Because it's Eishes Aviv.
He had a Nusas Aviv earlier.
Please, we're going to get to that in a moment. Everybody agrees in the case is Eishes Aviv. Obviously, Befeish in the Torah, a person is not allowed to go and take the wife of his father, even though not related to me, it's a Zivik Sheni, Zivik Shlishi, whatever. A person is not allowed to go and marry the wife of his father. So therefore, since Leah was married to Yaakov, and since Yaakov was the father of Binyamin, Binyamin was not allowed to go and marry her. Zero. That's the end of discussion. That being the case, you can never come to the situation of Imoy of our Mishnah, in other words, of the first Mishnah, because the Imoy will never fall the Yibam, because she will never marry Binyamin. So you're going to go and say, well, Binyamin's going to go marry her anyway. The Kedushin won't be Toifis, because it happens to be an Isser Erva, an Isser Karis, and Kedushin not Toifis, and therefore there will never be a Yibam case. So when would there be a case which our Mishnah talks about, that the tzara is mutter. Shaloi b'makom yibam, shaloi b'makom mitzvah. What is that case? A regular case. You have everybody, Baruch Hashem, has a mother and a father. But unfortunately, sometimes the father passes away, or the father, Chas V'Shalom, gives a get to the person's mother. And that mother now goes and marries somebody totally unrelated, Yankel Smith, who lives in Chicago. Yeah. Oh, so I know you like Chicago because you have roots in Chicago. Anyway, so...
Aurora,
okay, fine. Anyway, bottom line is, so now his mother married Yankel Smith from Chicago. Yankel Smith from Chicago also happened to have another one or two wives in addition to that mother of Reuven that went and married out to Chicago to Yankel Smith. And now what happens? Yankel Smith unfortunately passes away. It's very, very tragic. He was a nice guy. Oh, that's what happens. So, okay, now Reuven's mother becomes available again because she was already one time a grusha, one time an almana. Now she's a nebuchan almana yet again. Okay, tragic. Can Reuven now say, "Mommy, I feel so sorry for you. You're now an almana twice. I want to go marry you so you'll have a husband." Chas v'shalom. It's a son and a mother. Nothing to talk about. But what happens if Reuven says, "I can't marry my mother, but I'd like to go marry one of Yankel Smith's other wives, who happens to be a tznu and a ksheir and a wonderful..." No problem. But that's a tzara of his mother. But it's called a tzara shaloi b'mokai mitzvah. And that's what our Mishnah says. Because these sheish arayis ha-chamuris me'elu, that they can never be married to one of the brothers, who can they be married to? Acherim, Yankel Smith from Chicago or Aurora. As a result, they're the same with Taurus, and the Taurus is mutter because it's shaloi b'mokai mitzvah. So that was the easy case. The only issue is what Barry was bringing up before. It says, Imoy ve'eshes aviv. If the case of Imoy is the case of eshes aviv, isn't this repetitive? Of course, the case that we posited of Imoy was that Binyamin wanted to but could not marry the mother of Reuven because that was Reuven's mother and it was eshes aviv. Eshes aviv meaning the wife of Yaakov. So that's the Imoy case. So why are we repeating both Imoy v'Eshes Aviv? So we already explained a couple of days ago in the Gemara. This is what Barry already told us 2 minutes ago, that the Imoy is not referring to Eshes Aviv, it's referring to Anusas Aviv. That Yaakov wasn't the Yaakov Avinu, the sterling Yaakov Avinu, the Bechira Aviv in the Torah Kedoshia, but he was a Yaakov. And what did he do? And unfortunately he was Manus. Manus doesn't mean necessarily he violated a young lady. It could have been a consensual relationship. But it was not with the benefit of Chuppah V'Kiddushin. They had a child from that relationship, and that child was Reuven. And now, vis-a-vis Binyamin, who is the son of a real wife of Reuven, so it's not his Eishes Aviv, it's Anusas Aviv, a woman that his father lived with, unfortunately. And now the question is he allowed to marry the Anusas Aviv? So that's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan that we had back on Daf Dalit. Oh, based on the word, what does it say in the pasuk? Gemara brings the whole pasuk. The yikach ishes eishes aviv lo yigalek knaf aviv. So therefore, the Gemara darshins a contribute the knaf means the konif shiro aviv, which means the case of the nusas aviv. So therefore, the imoy is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's one of the reasons why the Gemara said before that Rabbi criticized Levi and said, "In lecha moyach bekod kadai," because you know that our Mishnah is talking about a case aliba der Yehuda. So how can you go and say that the Mishnah back on Daf Beis is not aliba der Yehuda? Okay, anyway, getting back to all the cases here.
Levi anyway had his 16th case.
In his private collection. Yeah, exactly right. So the Imoy is either the Eishes Aviv or the Anusas Aviv. The Eishes Aviv is the Eishes Aviv. The Achois Aviv, the Achois Aviv. The Achois Aviv and the Eishes Chi Aviv, the Eishes Achim the Aviv. The common denominator in all of these is that we're talking about Aviv. And since the only din of Yibam are two brothers from the same father, by definition, whoever is going to be related to Reuven will be related to Shimon and to Levi and to Yehuda and to Yisachar. Even though it's a different mother, it makes no difference. The Eishes Aviv, the Anusas Aviv is Aser. Same thing, Achois Aviv. You're talking now about an aunt. The same aunt that is usher to Reuven is usher to Shimon and to Binyamin and to Yosef across the board. So therefore, just like Reuven is not allowed to go and marry that aunt, Binyamin cannot marry that aunt. So you're never ever going to have a case of Yibum, since each time it's always going to be a tzara shaloi b'moka mitzvah, and that's why it's mitzvah. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two is, we had this already before in the Gemara, that the whole concept of tzoreis that we have in our Mishnah, that not only the erva is awesome, but the tzoreis erva, only Beis Hillel holds that way. Beis Shammai says, I don't agree, there's no din of tzoreis. So if you have the bitoy and the tzoreis bitoy, although Reuven is not allowed to go and be miyabim his daughter, but he can be miyabim all of the other tzoreis, not more than one, but he can be miyabim one of them, no problem. That's according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai Matina, tzoreis Achim. So we should really put Beis Shammai back on Daf Beis and say, I respectfully disagree with this entire Mishnah, the whole Ptur of tzoreis and tzoreis doesn't exist. You have the mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza in the Tars. But Beis Elasar, and Beis Elasar said, no. Or of Litzra. What's the Svar of Beis Shammai? We'll see Mitchum in the Gemara. Okay, what happens now? Choltsu. So now we're going the next step. And what the Gemara is going to tell us is that these are, in a sense, Pshita. It's a double Parshat. So what's the case over here? You have the Tzoris. Now, according to Beis Hill, if it's a Tzoris or Ereva, they all go home. They don't have to do anything. Except if it's Erev Shabbos, they have to light candles. But other than that, they have no other chiyuv. Guess what happens? According to Beis Shammai, no. They all fall in Yibam. So what happens if one of the Yivamim gave them a chalitza? Beis Shammai pasul min hakuna. This was a valid, relevant, enforceable chalitza, meaning that it was a kosher chalitza, and therefore, as we know, a chalitza is also to a kohen.
The chalitza only, or all the multiple tzara?
Only one that received the chalitza. Okay. Well, Beis Hillel Mashir, and Beis Hillel says, no, there is no such din, because this chalitza was not, it was not a meaningful, it was a meaningless chalitza. It's as if a person goes and meets a young lady in the street and says, young lady, I'd like to perform the chalitza ceremony with you.
Hurry up, chalitza sleep.
Exactly.
Manal Zoo.
And they do the whole chalitza. It's ridiculous. It's meaningless. So Beis Hillel says it's meaningless. There's no din of even a chalitza on the Torah Arab. So therefore, even if they perform the chalitza with a dozen of 23 or 71, makes a difference. It was meaningless. And therefore, she's allowed to go and marry a koyin. On the other hand, what happens in this Yabmu, if any of these tzoris now did engage with in Yibam with one of the Yavamim, Beisham Hashim, Hashim said, that's what you're supposed to do. Yibam Chalitza, that's fine. Beisil says, Chas Shalom Poislin. These women had no business performing a Yibam. And now, therefore, the women become posel. In which sense they become posel? Rashi says they have now the status of a Zoyna, and therefore they're not allowed to marry a Koyin. And if they have a child from this union, the child would be a Mamzer because it's an Isser Kare. So there's many, many major ramifications in this machloikis. And avo pisha elu oisam elu matirin, elu poisam elu machshirin. Even though we see that they're poles apart, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, leinimnu Beis Shammai melisa noshem Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai. They still were meshadach one with the other. Bahava ach v'sholem v'reis. Now this is, of course, a very, very beautiful, ethical, moral, menschlicha thing to say that even though they had intellectual machloikasin, which were very fierce, and they held mikotze lakotze, but bottom line is it was still beautiful lahava between them. But we have a basic issue, and that is how can Beis Hillel go and allow one of his boys, for instance, go and marry one of the girls from the Beis Shammai? Maybe she's a mamzeres, because maybe she's the product of a situation where there was a tzara who was misyabim through one of the achim. They had no right to marry. It was an issa koris, it was a tzara sa'ereva, and this child is a mamzeres. So how come? So says Rashi, they would always put down on the resume whether the child was born to such a situation, to a tzara sa'ereva that was married to the Yavam. So Rashi, see where Rashi says Gemara, go up three lines. As you know, today it's very common people send around resumes, shidduch resumes. So on the bottom of the shidduch resume, they had a footnote. They said, we happen to be from the Talmid of Beis Shammai, and this young man or this young lady was born to a union of a tzoris erva together with the Yavam. So therefore, Basil, no. Okay, we're going to step away from that. We're not going to get close. So what's the Chiddush? Chiddush is that they believed each other that there was full emes v'yatzev v'nochein, and therefore they knew not to touch this one. And similarly, says the Mishnah, Kol Taharis v'tmeis shehoyu elu v'tam v'elu v'tamin. If there was ever a machloek between Bisham and Basil about a particular situation whether something is tor or tamei, le'nimnu oisim taharis elu al gabe elu. Even though there were certain times that, for instance, Beishami might have been more machmer, or Beisil was more machmer than the other one, and therefore that's the case. Maybe I shouldn't go and use the kalim. Maybe I shouldn't go and borrow the sugar or the salt. And maybe it's tomei according to me, even though according to the other one it's tar. They would go and be majia. They would go and tell him, you want to go and borrow this kli, you want to go and borrow this machel. I have to tell you that according to us it's tar. That's why we use it. But according to you, it would be tomei. So you should therefore be careful. So you want to borrow a kli, you'd have to go and toivel it, because, unless of course it's a kli cheres. Okay, Zok Dimara. Om Reb Shimon ben Pasi. We said that Beishamai doesn't hold the din of tzores. Why not? It says Litzra. My time of the Beishamai, Tachsid is another Pasi. It says, Legabi e Yevoma leisia isha sameis hachutza leizar, Yevoma yovi aleha, velekocha le isha v'yibma. Freitach the Gemara, what do I need the word hachutza for? It could have said leisia isha sameis, leizar. She should go marry one of the Yevamim and not so an Ishzara, a friend, a stranger. Therefore, Beishami takes the word Hachutza and he reads it as if it says Hachitzoina. And therefore, the word Hachutza, the way, how would you normally touch the words? Like, see, Eishas Hameis, don't allow this Almana, Hachutza, to go outside the family and marry an Ishzara. She should stay within the family, in other words, have Yibam or Chalitza from one of the Yevamim. That's the way you would push it. The way, however, Beishami is learning is that the word hachutza is modifying eishes hameis, and therefore leisia eishes hameis hachutza leizar. Now, what does that mean? Hachutza, says Rashi, means like hachitzoina, that if there happen to be two women in this yibam situation, one of them is a close relative, like a bitoy, and the other one is a chitzoina, who's not so close. It's only a tzoras bitoy. Says the posse, tzoras bitoy, don't let her marry a friend, a stranger. She should be nisiyabim through the oven. Even though the oven can't go and take the bitoy, okay, he can't take the bitoy, but he should go and take the chitzoina, the one that's one step removed from the bitoy. It's chutz mechlal, the ikam panimius. There's a panimius, that's the bitoy, that's the close, erva. The close in cradle, close in family, because that's the erva. The chitzoina is the tzara. Don't allow her to marry Ishzar. Oh, bring her back to the family. Let a yavam go and marry her. Don't let her go away. Ubeisil, what does Beisil do? L'chayim psagut drasha. Beisil meboilu l'kav yiram arav. Yom rav yiram arav. Minayin she kedushin toivsim biyavama. Pug fakert. What happens if somebody else, a fremda, an Ishzar, were to go and marry one of the yavamais who had not received Yibam or Chalitza? So the Torah says, "Loisia Eish Lameisa Chutz Leizar." That is an Isser Lav, that an Ishzar should not go and marry her. However, Rav Yehuda Marav says it's not only that it's an Isser Lav, but this has the status as if it was an Issachares. It's not an Issachares, it's only Isser Lav. But this is one of those rare Isser Lavs that Ein Kedushin Toiv Simba. Why not? Because the Torah says, Loisihia, Shinem Loisia, Eish Lameisa Chutz Leizar, Loisia Bahavaya Leizar. There shouldn't even be epis, a presence, something. This is Gornish, this is Gornish. It's not Toifis whatsoever. So if an Ishzar goes and gives her Kesef Kedushin, it's meaningless, it's worthless, take your money back. So that's what I need a Pasik for. Ube Shame Miksiv Lachutz, Chutziksiv. The Pasik could have said, Leisia Eishas Hameis, Lechutz Leishzar, and Darshan Yur Drosher of Yudah Amarav, that Ein Kedushin Tarsim, by using the term Chutzah. The Chutzah is using the term Chitzoina, like I learned it before, says Beishamai, that the Tzora should not go and marry a Fremda, she should rather go and marry one of the Yavam.
In the family.
Beisil, Kivin, Chsev Chutzah, Kaman, Chsev Lechutz Tami. Chutz and Lechutz are identical. They're synonymous. The Sanya, and now the Gemara is quoting what Rashi brings numerous times in Chumash. The Sanya, Rechemi, Oimek, Koltevish, Tzrich, Elam, Betchilase, Hitzulah, Kazen, Hei, Besoifu. You find this often in the Torah, that when the Torah wants to say Le, that the person is going to a certain place,
Mitzrayim,
like Le Mitzrayim, instead of Mitzrayim, it says Mitzrayim. In fact, the Gemara gives that as one of the examples. But under Rabbi Shmuel, person's going to Elim, it's not Le Elim, but Elimah. Instead of Limachanayim, Machnaimah, instead of Mitzrayim, Mitzrayma, instead of Lid Divlasoima, instead of Lid Divlasam, Divlasoima, instead of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayima, Midbora, etc. So you see that these are interchangeable, Lachutz, Achutz, that is all the same. So if you fine, so that's Beisil, but Beishami says, yeah, you're right, it could be Taka the same, but the fact that Torah says Chutz has come to tell you my halacha chitzoina, and that's why Torah was makbid here to go and say Chutz instead of the Chutz. How does he know the halacha of Ravina Marav that if a stranger attempts to marry one of the tzorois or any of the yevomois that it's not effective? He says, I agree with that, but you don't have to learn it from achutza. You learn it from leisia eishes hameis leishzar. Take out the word achutza. Leisia eishes hameis leishzar. There should not be havaya of kedushin of an ishzar marrying one of the yevomois. It doesn't happen. This is a chiyav lav. Where the Islam no tfisas kedushin. So I learned that from Lishar. Besides that, I have the chutz to go and tell you my din of the tzoras erva that she should marry within the family. You can learn Izar, I don't need Hakutza for that. So you're 100% right. So Chutz Olam, so what does a Chutz come to tell you? The Rabbi Suarusa, oh, says, Beisil, it comes to tell you that Rusa, that the din of Yibam B'chalitza doesn't only apply to a Yavama from a Nisuin, but even from an Erusin. Reuven gave Sprinza Kesef Kedushin. They're going to make the Nisuin a year from now. And in that interim period, unfortunately, Reuven passed away. Is there a din that Sprinza falls the Yibam? And the answer is yes. How do I know that? From the extra word Chutzah. That even if she's Chutzah, that she wasn't fully
Kones.
Fully
enter.
Integrated into the family because she was only a half a wife in the sense that she only had Eiris and not me. So nevertheless, same halacha applies of Yibam Lissiya Eishel Meis Achutz Yisar. The Idach, how does Beishamai know that din? Doesn't he agree? Yeah, I agree. And we learn it Mechutza HaChutza. It could have said the Pasuk Lissiya Eishel Meis Chutzal Yisar. Chutza would have told you where I'm learning Beishamai Meis the Lissiya Eishel Meis Chutza the Eisha HaChitzoina. Yet you could have learned that pshat even without the hay. The extra hay comes to tell you to include the case of Arusa like Beisil. Either what is Beisil say chutzah chutzah limashmalu. I have no additional limud with hakutzah chutzah. That's basically the same. Anyway, so bottom line is, how do we know according to Beis Shammai that a tzoras erev is mutter from the pusik of Eish Lameis hakutzah? Rav Amar, I have a new reason. Tamay de Beis Shammai de en yisr chal al yisr. You cannot have two isurim on the same young lady. Now, Parsha Pshat, what does that mean? So Rashi explains that once you have a lady who is a bitoy and she's falling liyibam, she's already usher to her father by the fact that she happens to be the daughter of her father. So she's already an erev. So now you want to go and say the time of her husband passing away. Now there's an additional issur of eishesach, or she was already an eishesach when she got married. As soon as she got married, she's now the eishesach to her father, to Reuven. She remains for the rest of her life only the bitoy of Reuven. She's never known as the Eishes Ach of Reuven because she was married to Shimon. If that's the case, so then the Tzara doesn't get a shame of Tzara's Erva, because the Tzara's Erva would only be if there's an Eishes Ach situation that applies to the bitoy and to all the other young ladies. Since vis-a-vis the Erva, she never becomes an Eishes Ach. She always remains the Echois. The bitoy. So then the other one doesn't become a tzoras bitoy. She only gets the din of Eishes Ach because she doesn't have the Isser Chal Isser issue that bitoy has. She's just a plain, regular, ordinary lady, a plain, ordinary wife. So therefore, she becomes an Eishes Ach, and now when the husband passes away, she falls the Yibam. She has nothing to do with the Tzoras Erva because the Erva doesn't even get into the parish of Eishes Ach. She happens to be off on her own bitoy. She never falls, it's as if she never falls the Yibam whatsoever. So at the time that Shimon passed away, bitoy is out of the picture. She doesn't fall the Yibam because after all she's bitoy. So now there's only a Tzara. The Tzara falls the Yibam like normal.
Isn't there a klal Issur Moisef?
Yeah. So what would be the Issur Moisef? Yeah.
Because the Eishes Ach now including more Issur than bitoy, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Bitoy only answers those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's more encompassing.
You're saying that
because it means it adds more women, because it adds more women.
Right.
Or adds more Isser.
More people also to it. The bitoy is only Aser to Reuven.
Right.
If there's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar. So Shimon married Reuven's daughter, and now Shimon passes away, although she Uvain's daughter is also to Uvain, but she can go and marry, and there's a chiyav yibum or chalitza. So the fact that she was originally Osir, and now you're saying there's a Tosefes Isser because it's Koil Mor, right. It's not Koil Mor, it's only vis-a-vis Reuven. She only remains also to Reuven, she still is Muteris too, and there's a Chiyav Yibam to Levi and to Yehuda and Yisachar, and if one of them wants to marry her, great! And if one of them wants to marry the Tzora Se'erva, then you can have Tzora and Tzora, Tzora and Tzora, Tzora. But that, again, the original Isser that applies to Reuven has nothing to do with them, and there is no Issa Kol or Issa Mosef, even with the Eishes Ach situation.
It's only mutter when it's Yibam. You know, Yibam, Eishes Ach is Chal. It's only, totally Yibam exists. Eishes Ach does exist.
I hear you what you're saying, Mandy. Vis-a-vis Reuven, there's no difference whatsoever. It was Osir to him previously, and it remains Osir Alzbita. So there's no Eishes Ach that attaches. Vis-a-vis all the other brothers, the only Isser that attaches is the Eishes Ach, because Shimon married her. But that's the only thing. There is no kola that of Bita, because the Bita doesn't have anything to do with them. So vis-a-vis him, it's Ein Issachal Isser. And according to, for all the others, there's only one Isser, that's Eish Azach. There's no original Isser of, for instance, the case of a Bita. No problem. Anyway, to my Debisham, then Issachal Isser. Okay. Now, initially, the Gemara assumed that it was the other way around. Not that it was a case of Lamushal Bitoy and then Eish Azach, but it was perhaps, for instance, an achois ishtoi situation, and the question is which came first, not the chicken or the egg, but was it an achois ishto first, or was it an eishes ach first? And that's what the Gemara is going to deal with now. Teinach heicha de nosa meis v'yach kach nosa chai le'osi iser achois isha v'chayil al iser eishes ach. So now we're changing the role over here slightly. We're not talking about bitoy first, and then after that, the Eishes Ach is not Chal on that. We're talking about that it was an Eishes Ach first, and then the Achois Isha is not Chal. How is that the case? You have Nosem Meis. Do you have a case, for instance, Achois Ishtoi, we have two brothers and two sisters. The Mes, of course, at the time when the Mes married one of the sisters, he was alive. We just mean to say that that was the first marriage. The Yachach Nosachai, and then the brother that Baruch Hashem survived, let's talk about Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven was the one that originally married one of the two sisters. And then after that, then Shimon married the second sister. And what happens now? Reuven Nebuch passed away. He was the mess. And now vis-a-vis Shimon, what happened? Initially, Shimon looked at the Eishes Reuven and says, she's also to me, when everybody was still alive. After Reuven married the first lady, then Shimon says to that lady, I am not allowed to marry you, you're my Eishes Ach. Subsequently, Shimon then married the sister of Reuven's wife, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But now Shimon looks upon, or I should say the second wife, Shimon looks upon the first wife and says, I'm not only Osa to you because of Eishes Ach, now it's Eishes Ach together with Achois Ishtai. Says the Gemara, according to this Svara of Rava, Beishami holds li Osi Isser Achois Isha v'chayel Isser Eishes Ach, and therefore it remains only one Isser. This other Isser of the Achois Ishtai, the Erva Isser, never attaches. It's only the Eishes Ach Isser. So I understand why the Tzora of the Eishes Ach is Mutter, because she never Tzora of the Erva. The Achois Ishtai never fell onto the Eishes Ach. But if it's the other way, right? If the one that's alive, the Shimon, was the one that married first, and then Meis, Reuven is the one that married second. So by the time Reuven married his wife, the wife was already Ossered to Shimon from before, because it was Achois Ishtoi, and only after that it became also Eishes Ach, because his brother married her. So Achois Isha comes first, and therefore Kivin Osi Iser Eishes Ach v'chayel Iser Achois Isha. You only have the Achois Isha Iser, you don't have the Eishes Ach Iser. Havilo Tzores Erva Shulakim Mokhe Mitzvah. Therefore, it now becomes a Tzores Erva, meaning that since the Eishes Ach Iser never attached, there was never a Chiv Yibam, it was only Achois Isha. Okay, so vis-a-vis the tzara says, I'm not the tzara of an erva. This erva is not even the picture at all, because in Yisachal Inser, she's an achois ishtar, but she's not an eishes ach. The iser eishes ach that it normally attaches doesn't attach over here. So therefore, I'm not a tzara erva, and that's why she's sharia, that's why she's mutter, to be misyabim, according to Beishank.
Sister of a wife is not an erva. It's not an erva.
A sister of one's wife, of course, an erva. That's a chayis ishtar.
Right. So when Shimon, so in this case, it's eluding me now. In this case, the second case where Beis Shammai is permitting it, Shimon married Mrs. Shimon.
Beis Shammai is permitting in both cases. The Gemara is just analyzing which one comes first, which one is the initial iser, and which one is the second iser. The Gemara concludes it makes no difference whether the Achois Ishtoi came before the Eishes Ach or the Eishes Ach came before the Achois Ishtoi. In all cases, there's only the initial Isur. So if the initial Isur was, for instance, an Eishes Ach Isur before the Achois Ishtoi Isur, so now says the Tzara, the Achois Ishtoi Isur never attached to this young lady. It's only Eishes Ach. Since she's not an Erev, but only an Eishes Ach, I'm also an Eishes Ach, so we're just all in the same set, in the same kitten kahodl.
Same level.
Exactly, and therefore I can be misyabim, or I can go and have a chalitza for
the
young.
Isra ever attached
the Isra Chois Isha never attached to the first one, because she's already an Eishes Ach. So therefore, even though, of course, when they're alive, there is a din of a Chois Ishtar. We're not saying that it doesn't attach for a purpose whilst they're alive.
Right.
We're talking about after one of them passes away, then you don't have a double whammy that she's both an Eishes Ach and a Chois Ishtar, because she was originally Eishes Ach, so the Chois Isha doesn't attach, and therefore the other one is not a Tzara Serva. Or the other way around, that originally she was a Chois Ishtar, and therefore the Isra of Eishes Ach doesn't
never attached.
And therefore it doesn't attach. It's not a Tzara of an Erva, Mokka Mitzvah. Rather, it's a Tzara of Shalom Mokka Mitzvah, because there's no Yibam vis-a-vis the first one, because the first one is a Chois Isha, she's out of the picture. Now, Frank Tigmara, we went through this in the Mishnah. Pshita, Nefeshtetzach. If, according to Beis Shammai, you need a Chalitza, then the Chalitza was meaningful. And if, according to Beis Hill, if you gave a Chalitza and it was meaningless, then it's worthless. So that's why Beis Shammai says Paslakun, and that's why Beis Hill says Motalakun. Pshita. Beis Hill, was, if you will, the ultimate peacemaker who wanted to really go and help things out. My father, Zuchan Avrucha, always used to tell the story that one of the first ministers in the first Israeli government, his original name was Shertok, and then after that he changed his name to Sharet. And they said about him that he was the ultimate compromiser. Whenever there were a machloikis in the government about we should do this or that, he would always be able to work out some sort of settlement and be able to cut through and get the parties together. So they would tell us a story that Sharet, when he would go to a restaurant, and then the Meltzar would come by and say, what would you like? Would you like to have coffee or tea? He would say, chatzi chatzi. I'll take a half coffee and half tea. Why? Because he was always able to find the middle road of getting the two parties together. So that was the joke that people said. So now the same story we're saying over here is, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri was also lahavdul. Yeah, and what is he saying? He said he wanted also to get Beis Shammai and Beis Hill to the same table, to the same conclusion. He's saying Beis Shammai requires that the tzaris have either yibam or chalitza. According to Beis Hill, they're not required. It's zero. It's a tzaris or erva. You know what? Let's be misakin that all of the tzaris of an erva should always get chalitza, and this way Beis Shammai will be happy. Oh, they got chalitza. Okay, they didn't do yibam, at least they did chalitza. Well, according to Beis Hill, even though it was unnecessary, but fine, they get chalitza.
Deem it like water on the mizbeach.
Exactly. It's water on the mizbeach, but not during sukkahs.
Right.
So it's nothing, it's meaningless. It's going so that's what Rabbi Yochanan, he wanted to get the two parties together. And the benefit of this would be then Beis Shammai and Beis Hill would always be able to intermarry. You would never have a problem because they already chalitza, therefore there's no mozika, etc. Anyway, no, I'm mistaken. According to Beis, okay, we'll see in a moment. Anyway, the Om Boy in the Sakhalim, the Torah, she holds the Vulemis, that works. Kamash Malon says the Gemara that Beis Hill didn't accept this compromised position of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, and therefore he said, Machshirin, I don't care, you can go and give the Torah as many chalitzas as you want, 5 chalitzas, 10 chalitzas, but nevertheless, these chalitzas have no efficacy, no effectiveness, or no validity, and therefore they can continue marrying Kohanim, no problem. Right. Nesia mubeisel paislin. Again, hasul amali. This is just the other side of the coin. If they had yibam according to beisel, no good. It's an iser erva, it's a tzoris erva, and iser karis. And according to beishamai, it's mutter. So again, what's the chiddush over here? Hayatan cholzu tanan nesia. Since we burned the cholzu case a moment ago, lafuke from yechem menuri. So we bring the nesia, which is the other side of the coin. Okay, tanan hasul. Now today, as you know, is the 17th day of Adar. And the custom here and in many other communities is not to say Tachnun today.
I was wondering about that.
Oh, what's the reason why?
Yabor.
Oh,
the Havamina was...
The Gemara says in the Havamina, since we say that we go and have extra days before, and that is, in addition to Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tezvav, we add Yud Aleph and Yud Beis in the Mishnah to allow for the Bnei HaKfarim. So Gemara says, Yud Dalet and Tezvav we know is from the Megillah itself. Yud Gimel was the Yom Ruchom, the Yom Nitzach, and the Yom Haneis. So that's a double pashut. But they added also Bizmaneim, they added Zmanam Tuva, two additional days Yud Aleph and Beis, and that's why you can go and lane the Bnei HaKfarim in Yud Aleph and Beis. So Gemara says, well, maybe Eimer Bishitzer, Eimer Bishifzer, maybe on the 16th and the 17th, everything Gemara, V'lo Yavor, so you can't go beyond. So now, based on that, the custom is, since the Hava Mina was, that you should be able to go and lane the beyond 16th, 17th, it's all 16th. This is brought, by the way, in the Sefer Tamei HaMenhagim. This is not something that was made up in the 20th century. This is already an Alta Minig in many, many
regards. We should have a lot more yard sides. Also.
Okay, Chas V'Shalom. Everybody should live, and then we should have yard sales. I understand. We should commemorate them with tikkun, and then of course.
On the yard.
Exactly.
You're just pushing me on that smooth, not say
time. Okay. Let's not get on to that.
As far as the history of the shul, there was a minion in this room.
Okay, let's go weiter.
I saw.
Yes, I know. It's Tanan Hossam. You probably participated too.
I did.
Tanan Hossam. We have the Mishnah in the beginning. Masechta's Megillah. What does it say? Megillah Nekras Beachad also Bishne. From 11 through 15. But there's a half a minute that should be through 17. That's why we're learning this Gemara today, which is Shivsa. We still have a shtickl connection to Purim, and that's why this Gemara is today on a shtickl connection to Purim. Good. Om Lirish Lakshmi Abiyachanan. Ikri Khan don't have a problem of loisis goyredu, loisas or gudus or gudus. Now, literally, the words loisis goyredu means a person should not make incision in his flesh. If Chas V'Shalom, someone passed away, and the person is so beside himself, yes, you should go and tear your garments, but don't tear your flesh. That's literally the loisis goyredu. And then it says loisisimu korcha bein nechem and loisitu sarotes, different types of incisions with your hand, with a knife, in your head, and in the rest of the body. That's the partial loisis goyredu. However, there's a drush. It's going to be less or good as a good as you don't want that Klal Yisrael should develop up into divided up into different camps where some say Yom Kippur is today, the other say Yom Kippur is tomorrow. Some people say that this is matzah, some people say it's chometz. That's in your sas or good as a good as it shouldn't be like multiple tortoise chas v'shalom. So now, how come you have some Yid and Klal Yisrael make Purim on Yudalid and some people make on Chamisha Asar? Don't have a problem of loisis goydedu, you're making a gudus a gudus. Now, before we get to answering this kasha, the Gemara first wants to cover it. Loisis goydedu means a gudus a gudus. How is goydedu made by Lady Gufay? Don't go and make an incision on a person who passed away. Says Yimar, of course, that's the Pashup Shad. In Kane, Lemakro Loi, Sigoydu, my Loi, Siskoydu, Shma Mino, Lohachiyu de Asa. The extra tough tells you a second Lashin about the Agudas, the second Drush. Fade of Emakul, Lohachiyu de Asa. Now that you've told us, maybe it's only come to tell us Agudas, and not tell you Din of Chabur Alames at all. Says Yimar, Kane, Lemakro Loi, Sigoydu, my Loi, Siskoydu, Shma Mino Tati, you learn both the Pashup Shad about not making the incision, as well as don't make different camps in Klaiso. So now, this is the question that was posed by Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Omleis, Rabbi Yochanan answers back rhetorically to Rish Lakish, Ad Kan Lishanisa, didn't you ever come across this before? After all, this is not the only case. L'moshlom Mesachtes Pesachim. Mokshinogu Lassim Malachim Arvi Pesachim Ad Chatzois Oysim. Mokshinogu Shloi Lassis Ein Oysim. Some places there's a meaning not to do Malacha, some places there's a meaning to do Malacha. Ah, good as a good eyes. Omleis, Rish Lakish says, with all due respect, Rabbi Yochanan, a minhag l'cho ano isura. I'm talking about an isur, meaning that the Yudalit people better lay the Megillah on Yudalit. They're not yotzei if they say it on Tezvot. And the Tezvot people, they're not yotzei if they say the Megillah on Yudalit. I'm not just talking about a minig that some people work, some people don't work. We're talking about isur v'heter. Not Isser in the sense of like eating chazer. He just means the kiyum ha-mitzvah and the non-kiyum of the mitzvah. That one zman is yedalit for the b'nei ha-kforim or the b'nei ayorois, and then tezvov is b'nei krochim. So how can they be misakin something? Agudos agudois. The atamas thing in Hogan, you bring me a ride from the minik. Since Rabbi Yochanan, v'hosam lav isura hava, even by Erev Pesach there's an isur. V'tanan, we have a machloikis between Beisham and Beisil, v'gabi halayla. See on the sign it says halayla. Halayla means the night before, what we would call the night of Bedikas Chometz. Where Beisham, Ois Beisham says already from that time it's awesome to do malacha. And of course, kosh gain the next day, the whole day is awesome. But Beisil Matir, Beisil says, no, there's no isur. You can do malacha that night, and as far as during the day, it depends on the two minhagim that we quoted. Is the chmaita, there's also isur v'heter. Amalei says back Rabbi Yochanan. Hasam Aroya Oyimam. I'm sorry. Rish Lakish says Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why I didn't ask from that case is Hasam Aroya Oyimam Malacha Udalas. Like when you see people sitting on their hands and not doing work, it's not necessarily because it's a chumra that they're asering on themselves. There's a minute. They're just unemployed. They have no jobs. Oh, now I know why we got into this. From our Mishnah, it says Beishamai held that you're allowed to go marry Tzoris, and Beisil you're not allowed to. Isn't that a case of Issa Veheter for sure?
And
it's Agudas Agudas. And for the more Misavris, also Bisham Kidabrahim, also Bisham Kidabrahim. That was only the intellectual machloikis. Of Aloch and Amaisa, they were no hake like Beis Hillel, and therefore there was no Agudais Agudais. So we're going to stop over here, but we shouldn't think that that's the end on this. Rabbi Yechan Omer, also for also, that in fact they did do the way they did. Yes. And therefore we're back to the Agudas Agudas question, which we mentioned we're going to address tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael. Thank you all for.